Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift and privilege and blessing of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and being a part of your family, a part of the army of God in the world. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of not only being saved and a part of your family, you've made us disciples, and you've called us to be disciples and to make disciples. What a privilege and an honor it is for us to be involved in this wonderful work of helping people to come to know you, and then helping and encouraging them to grow up in their faith as well. And Lord, thank you for the truth that your word and the call to discipleship covers every issue, every matter, every part of life. Help us to grow in our understanding of that truth and how to live it out and how to encourage others to live out that truth as well in every area of their lives as well. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for how much you love us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to better see how much you love us, to see how steadfast you've been pursuing after us and all the ways that you've shown up in our past and are showing up right now. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would grow in our ways of following in your footsteps, that as we recognize more about your love, that we'd grow in your likeness. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being each of you for being a part of our listening family. I want to say a word of thanks once again for all those parents and all the young people that participated in our Ten Commandments project. Specifically, the speech challenge went very well, and we appreciate all the responses. And we've had the opportunity to have a number of those young folks and their parents on so far, and we're looking forward to having more on soon. But thank you again for your participation, and I want to encourage every one of you to be mindful that The Ten Commandments Project is simply a discipleship project to encourage you in the work of discipling your children. But remember, you can take and do with it whatever you choose to. But the idea of teaching your children the Ten Commandments, helping them learn them, and helping them to live them as well is so important. And then to have them do speeches, of course, you can do that on your own. And to me, it's so powerful to see how young folks will take the concept of each commandment and or whichever commandment we're dealing with, and put together the truth behind that commandment. Every speech has been powerful that we've had thus far this year. So again, if you'd like more information about how to participate, because it is an ongoing project with a number of the other aspects of the Ten Commandments Project, so please do let us know. We're very honored and blessed to have with us in studio today Wesley Wildman. He's one of the vice presidents here at the American Family Association. Wears plenty of hats, but a servant of the Lord, doing great work as he serves the Lord Jesus Christ here at AFA. Wesley, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. I've been on before, but it's been a while. It's been a while. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for being with us once again. And, you know, Wesley, I'm grateful to have you to come on today. And specifically, you know, as I shared with you on a number of occasions when you do staff devotions here at AFA, you often share about your experience as a coach, and grateful to have you to come and to share about that. So today, as we're looking at the topic of Christian discipleship and good sportsmanship, I want to invite you just in your own way just to dive into that topic and share, because it actually affects so many people, because sports is such a huge part of our culture and our life.
Absolutely.
And so just want to, in your own way, just dive in and share your heart on some of these issues.
You opened up the radio, the program with a passage from Philippians. Well, Philippians 2:3 is the verse that is our root or our anchor to the directly to the team that I coach. I coach travel baseball. I coach my son's team. They're a 10-year-old group, fairly local, within about 30 minutes of Tupelo or where the boys are from. And I've coached them since they were 6 years old, and they're about to be a 11-year-old age group. So however many years that is.
And you said travel baseball. What is travel baseball?
Travel baseball is where there's a tryout or they're hand-selected players to where we play 8 or 9 months out of the year, as opposed to just spring baseball. So we put in 2 to 3 times more of our time and our effort and our energy, and it can vary. Some travel quite a distance to play. I don't. It's just part of the. We travel some. To get a different scenery and to experience new things, but we don't travel often. We usually play locally, but there's a lot to define it, because people do it different ways. But in summary, we just play baseball almost year round versus just in the spring. But Philippians chapter 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourself." And that has been we share devotion and wisdom and life lessons at every practice, but all the way back to five or six years ago, that's the Bible verse that hangs around the necklace that we wear when we do something special or something goes well. We usually, you know, kind of crown them with the necklace, so to speak. It's just a fun thing for the kids. And on the back of the chain is Philippians 2:3. So when you opened up in Philippians, I was like, that's the root of what we do. We consider others more important than ourselves. In sports, some of the bigger issues that I'm seeing right now in youth sports, not professional sports, okay? That's a job. They're making money for their family.
And that's an important distinction to understand.
Big time. And so I understand why an adult making money would consider themselves and their families over others to provide their need, prosperity in that sense. But when it comes to youth sports, there's a lot of compromise on what we know to be right or what we believe to be right at the expense of selfishness. And that's just all through youth sports, and it's a growing trend, and it's more and more constantly looking at yourself and what best fits you and what serves you. And there's a ripple effect to that, and you're gonna see it be exposed more and more as kids get older, and you'll see that. So that's one thing I've seen. So I've had the opportunity over the last couple of years with the team I coach, and we are making an impact, not just with our team, but other teams see what we're doing, the way we do things, and we are shining a light beyond just our own travel ball baseball team. But I'm involved in other sports too. I get to coach basketball a couple times a year. I'm around my daughter's soccer. I was involved in all the sports growing up. I enjoyed them.
So you're inundated with sports.
Inundated with sports. There's a lot you can learn. Responsibility, honesty, selflessness, stewardship. You know, a lot of Christianity is made up of stewardship.
Right.
Stewarding what God's given you, and you can do that. Go ahead.
Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them in it? Because for some believers, they may think, well, what in the world does sports have to do with the Christian faith? But you could say everything.
I will.
Because we're to glorify God in absolutely everything we do. So certainly, every issue is a discipleship issue, whether people understand that or not. And so certainly, we do see people glorify the Lord through sports and sometimes dishonor the Lord in the way they function and carry themselves in sports too, though. So would you pray for believers to really have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes. Father God, thank you so much for all you provide for us through your written word. I also pray, Lord, for the listeners. Lord, I pray that you would help us to step back just a moment to listen to what you would have to share about how we can make the most use of these amoral things that are neutral but can be used for good or for bad. And I pray that you will help us to use, in this case, sports for your glory. And I pray that you help us to learn how we can do that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I had to ask myself in high school, we had a loss, and it was really devastating. And then it just came to my mind, does God care whether we win or lose? Okay, so I had to answer that question. So I went on a couple day search to get the answer to that, and I ended up writing an article, which is on the stand. Now, it's old now. It's 2018 or later.
Mm-hmm.
But I concluded that I don't know for sure. I couldn't determine in my study whether God cared about the score or not. Don't know. I ask him when I get to heaven. But I did confirm this. God does care how we act on the field, and he does care how we respond to others, and he does care whether we glorify him while we're out there. So I don't know if he does care. Some people say he doesn't. Some people say he does. But I do know for sure that Colossians 3:17, Colossians 3:23, and other places say, it says this all throughout the New Testament, Whatever you say or whatever you do, do so as if you're doing it for the Lord and not for men. So we are supposed to go. So if we're out there, we have a chance to be honest. If we're out there, we have a chance to take responsibility for our actions. If we're out there, we have a chance to be a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Right.
And so these are things that you can learn through the sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask if you, as I mentioned earlier, I really appreciate the illustrations you share of real incidents you've dealt with in dealing with your players in different cases. Would you share with us just one of those instances that helped illustrate why this is important?
Yes, and it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. So I was coaching 3 years back. I have the same select baseball team I coach now, I coach then.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple of changes over the years, but the majority of the team's been with me since they were 6 years old. Well, we're going into our 8-year-old fall year. About this time of year, getting around August, September, we're playing baseball, and
in and we'll let you pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Wesley Wyman, one of the vice presidents here at AFA, and we're looking at the topic Christian discipleship and good sportsmanship. We'll be right back.
You're the light in this. darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Music from Passion, God of this City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Wesley Wyman. He's one of the vice presidents here at AFA, and we're looking today at the topic of Christian discipleship and good sportsmanship. And Wesley, one of the definitions I found, it said sportsmanship is conduct becoming to a person participating in a sport. And it said, good sportsmanship includes respect for one's opponent, playing by the rules, and accepting a judge's final verdict on a win or a loss. And a few other people might have different definitions of defining it, though, but I think generally that would be true. But you were going to share an illustration, a story. Would you pick up where you left off, please?
Yeah, so at the end or beginning of each practice, I'll share a two-minute devotion of some kind, or it's a topic, whether it's honesty, responsibility, being selfless, and consider others more important than yourself. So almost every practice, that's what I do, either before or at the end. Well, one of them was about honesty and being, you know, doing what you're supposed to. I even went so far to say, even when no one's looking, you know, these are kids. Well, at 8 years old, we're playing in fall, and we're playing in a championship game. It's late in the game. There's probably 10 minutes left, and we're down by one. We're down by one run, and the tying run's at second base. And there was a ball hit in the outfield, and the tying run's at second. Well, usually that's a run. It's not, you know, we tie the ball game up and we move on and so on. The inning continues, and clock clicks down, and we have a chance to win it. Well, the ball was hit, so I just watched the ball, and I watched the guy who hit the ball run, because it should be obvious the guy goes home from second. Well, I'm following the play, and then I look behind the play, and I see that the guy that's at second is not at home, and he's going back from home to third. And I said, and I just start getting immediately frustrated, because I'm thinking, I thought, well, you have time to make it. It would have been close, but you'd have been safe.
Yeah.
And I walked over there to him, and I've coached long enough to give somebody an opportunity to explain themselves, even if it looks not wise or smart. That's a nice way to say that. So internally, I'm just very, very upset. And then, because I would argue at the beginning, without getting full context, that he didn't do what I said. And I'm the coach, and I said, go home, and you didn't. So now I'm frustrated. So I walked up to him, and I'm visually upset, but I have not said anything yet. I said, can you explain to me why you're the tying run? There's probably 10 minutes left now. Can you explain to me why you did not go home? He said, well, coach, I didn't touch third base. I said, that's a good answer. You didn't touch third base. I said, in my mind, nobody saw that. I was watching the umpire. Both umpires are looking at the ball, and nobody's looking at him. This is local.
But he knew.
He knew he didn't. And he turned and went back, touched the bag, and I said, okay, fair enough. And then after about 4 or 5 minutes, I felt the Lord beginning to really speak to me and to use that as an opportunity. And he did it so sincerely. He didn't have anything to gain from that. All he did was I was gonna get mad. But he knew it was the right thing to do. So, and he remembered back to that the week before where we talked about telling truth, being honest.
That's right.
That's what he did. So we ultimately won that game, though.
Okay. Yeah.
But win or lose, you know, you still do the right thing. But I do think that for those listening, the fun part is we ended up winning too. So yeah, a little bonus there.
And, you know, again, that's so powerful, though, because, again, it would have been so easy for him to say.
Nobody
saw it, yeah. You know, but God saw it.
Yeah, that's right.
And he knew it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So those are some of the things. There's another fun story. Now, this is funny. This is funny the whole time. So I'm coaching third base, and I've been teaching our, at this time, I've been teaching our, the players I coach, put your stuff in your bag, know where you're, keep up with your stuff. Somebody bought that for you. So, and I know it's yours, but you didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of your stuff and be organized and
be a good steward.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm teaching them that. And there's some accountability and some consequences over a period of time if they don't do it. There's whether it's a foul pole, whether it's push-ups, whatever it is. And so they've reached the point now where they take care of their stuff. They organize stuff. They put it up. They know where it is. Well, we're coaching, and it's a very intense game. We're winning, but I'm distracted with what's going on in the field. I can't see not keeping up with what's going on in the dugout, what's going on out of the dugout. I'm just focused on what's going on with our team that's hitting on the field. And off in the distance, I hear one of my players say, "Coach Wesley," and I just was like, I can't even look over. Like I'm just, I was like, I can't. And then finally, he said it again, "Coach Wesley." And I kind of went like this, like, just wait a minute. I'm shaking my hand, like, but I'm not looking at him. Mm-hmm. But I got third, got second, and then one out, processing everything. Finally, he said it a third time, "Coach Wesley." And I was like, "Yes, what do you need?" And I gave up what was going on in the field just to look at him and give him my attention. And he's pointing at the other, we're on the other side. The team that we're playing against is on the third base side, and I'm the third base coach. And he points at their dugout, inside their dugout. He said, "That wouldn't work at our practice." Their dugout had stuff everywhere. They were tripping over it. They couldn't find their glove in between innings, and it cost them. It cost their team because their umpire said time's running out. If you don't get out here in 2 minutes, then there's going to be a penalty pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't find their stuff. Because it was spread out everywhere.
So he wanted to point out to you that he understood what you taught them.
That's exactly. And he's a kid, and so he was chuckling, going like, "I got the impression like I'm glad or something to the effect that wouldn't work at our practices, and also too, it's not good.
That's not right.
And he almost kind of felt like he was telling on him too. You know how kids can be. So he felt like he was telling on him. He thought that was funny. So,
but I can imagine that encourages you see that your players are listening. Mm-hmm. They're paying attention to what you say, and they see how it helps them, and how it causes problems for others when they don't do it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. There's so much you can learn from sports. Obviously, there's a handful of good organizations out there that get involved in public school, sport. You got FCA, you know, they do a good job getting involved in AFA, supports our local FCA as much as we can. So there's some good things out there. I just like to continue to encourage our parents to understand this. 7% of high school athletes will play college sports. Only 7% out of 100% will even play college sports. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that 7% of high school students will play college athletics. Mm-hmm. Only 2% of college students, which is 2% of the 7%, will play professional ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then only, anyway, so it's a very, in fact, I can give you the baseball number. I haven't looked at the others, but baseball is to play professional baseball is 0.0000008% chance that you're going to play professional baseball. So you got to work backwards, okay? What's our end goal here? And our end goal is to make memories, enjoy having an activity. You know, you want to teach your kids that it's not all about you. Those are some good things we can learn. But ultimately, for the Christian, Colossians 3:23, we want to glorify God in all that we do. So,
Well, you know, Wes, I want to ask you to share your thoughts about this. You know, the fact is that, you know, I recall hearing a gentleman, of course, he was well into his adulthood, but he shared how that when he was on a little league team where his coach said, he made the statement that many of us have heard, well, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. And the young man thought to himself, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That was his reaction.
Yeah. I think if you want to say it that way, I'm okay with it. You do need to couch one thing, and you need to say we're obviously trying to win. That's kind of that. So if you want to say it that way, that's fine. You know, I don't prefer saying it that way. I say things similar to this, and I've got different ways of saying it, but I'm trying to put a team together to win every single game
right now.
While also looking at the future. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that I may experiment from a rotation standpoint in one game to see what it looks like for another game. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly trying to win. There's no point in, if I wanted to do that, then if it wasn't about trying to win, then I would stay home and do it in the backyard.
Right. And you know, Wesley, to your point, too, it's important to understand this, too, that, like, sports illustrates truths about life.
That's right.
In life, you always want to win.
That's right.
You play, in other words, the goal is you live to win in whatever endeavor you're pursuing.
That's right.
And so I think clearly the goal is you always want to strive to win.
That's right.
But doing it in the way that we honor the Lord and the way we do it.
That's the key. Yeah.
But the reality is, it's important to understand, yes, it does matter.
Yeah, it does. It does matter.
And you feel better when you win.
That's right. So, all right, here's another thing. I made our team years ago define what I almost gave the answer away. There's a difference between being silly and having fun. Mm-hmm. And I made them define, I let them all, gave them a pen and paper, and I let them all define what was being silly and what was having fun. Mm-hmm. And for them, it was very similar. Mm-hmm. But I gave them a new definition. I said being silly is the things that you do that can almost get you in trouble, but maybe not quite as much. I said, but having fun is doing what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I said, because when you do what you're supposed to, everything's fun. Mm-hmm. When you don't do what you're supposed to, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. And so I gave them, and so giving them a complete, an entire counsel, and the Bible talks about using the entire counsel of Scripture, mm-hmm. giving them a full, complete picture of what it means to have fun versus being silly, mm-hmm. Help them understand the difference between when they're on the field and when they're off the field. I said, when you're off the field, you can be a little more silly. But when you're on the field, we got to have fun. I don't want to take the fun away. I mean, if it becomes a job, then that's professional and that's different. We're not getting paid here. Mm-hmm. So we are going to keep the fun, but fun, the way we define it, is doing what you're supposed to. And mm-hmm. within that, there are some things that are silly-ish but are still fun. But fun does not allow us to do things we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. If you're supposed to put your stuff in your bag and you don't, then all of a sudden, if you're over there chewing gum and not supposed to, it may be silly, but it's no longer fun anymore if you don't know where stuff is.
Right.
So do what you're supposed to. That's fun.
Well, you know, I want to ask you to share your thoughts about that. In fact, I tell you what I want to ask you to do first. Would you pray for parents?
Absolutely.
Pray that parents would grow in their understanding of how that they use their child's experience in sports as a discipleship tool as well, because sadly, probably all of us know some horror stories of parents that get too competitive mm-hmm. to where they actually take out anger on children when they don't do as well as they thought they should have.
That's right.
And similar situations where the child dreads the idea of losing because of how dad or mom might react.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Let's pray about that right now.
Would you?
Lord Jesus, I pray for the parents listening right now, Lord, that you would help them to see the importance of making memories with their kids and help them to see the importance of things that we can learn from your word through sports and help us to see that. Lord, I also pray that the parents here that have struggled, that are just done wrong, that have made the mistake of taken it, that have taken sports and elevated it over you. I pray that you would help them to humble themselves and hit the reset button. Lord, none of us are beyond being able to be forgiven and being able to start over and have a fresh start, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Wesley, would you share your thoughts about maybe encouragements that you'd want to give to parents about doing their best to really prayerfully live, working with their kids in such a way where they're encouraging them to do their best, encouraging them to strive to win, but to where it's not the end of the world?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple thoughts there on the encouragement side. Colossians 3:17, 3:23, I've mentioned that before in other places. Remembering that whatever you do, you're doing it to glorify God. So you're trying to be an example. So when we leave the field each practice, or we leave our private lesson each time we do it, or any time I work with my son individually, you know, I make sure to leave room for him to ask me questions, to thought, and you're trying to really work that relationship, because nobody cares what you know till they know that you care about them. And so just keeping a biblical worldview and an eternal perspective, like we would do on ministry, like we would do on our work, keeping our eternal perspective.
We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest is Wesley Wyman, one of the vice presidents here at AFA, and we're looking at the topic, Christian discipleship and good sportsmanship. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls, and every enemy will fall.
The music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Wesley Wyman. He's a vice president here at AFA, and we're looking at the topic, Christian discipleship and good sportsmanship. Wesley is a coach wearing many hats often in the area as a coach, and he's been sharing about baseball as well. And just to, Wesley, before you jump back in, I want to mention this, that, you know, I think of this, that, you know, unsportsmanlike behavior on the part of whether it's the players or parents can be so tragic, because it can be, you know, sometimes it can make the whole experience so unpleasant for people. Rude people that are rude, argumentative, parents that cuss out the coach or the umpires, you know, and tragically, children are watching all the time. And so the need is for, obviously, to be teaching the children the right thing, but parents being good role models and good guides in the midst of that. Would you share your thoughts about that?
Yeah, as adults, we have to, and if we don't, we end up in jail. What I'm about to say is, adult, you have to learn to handle conflict, and you have to handle it in a way that glorifies God. There's all kind of examples. I mean, you got Matthew 19, you know, go to someone one-on-one. If that doesn't work, go. I mean, there's all kind of, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 5. There's a lot of examples about, And each one of them have a little bit different context, but you can draw principles out of how we should handle conflict. And, you know, start with not embarrassing someone. So if you have a problem, don't yell at them in front of everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I tried to do, now I've probably coached almost 250 games now. So out of 250, I've yelled twice, and I told them afterwards I was sorry, you know, and I apologize. But even with what I'm about to share with you, I've had my own mistakes. But more times than not, almost 97% of the time, if I have a problem with a call on the field, I'll call time and I'll talk to the umpire privately one-on-one, and I'll ask him a series of questions that relates to what the issue I have. And More times than not, you know, these are little league sports. These are youth sports. These the umpires are usually trying to having a hard time finding referees and umpires for different reasons, and they're usually not getting paid that great, and they're usually not that good at knowing the rules. Many times I know the rule book better than they do. So more times than not, probably 70% of the time, we just have a conversation and he doesn't agree or willing to change his mind, and we just move on. And I get to say my last words. He says his last words and we move on. And but 30% of the time, I would say for me, of my 5 or 6 years coaching, I was able to convince the umpire he got it wrong based on the rules. Just black print on white paper. And then and so he would change his mind. And, of course, the other team lost their mind, too, because they thought I talked him into it or I paid him or, you know, what. I mean, you can make it think all you want. But it's been very effective to see that a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a principle, not a promise. Doesn't always work. But you need to do that. But there's a lot that you can do, you can accomplish by talking to people, not embarrassing them. So if you got a problem with somebody, but see, our players get to see that, and that's how we should handle it with our spouse. Don't yell at our spouse across the room.
That's right.
When they get older, you know, or there's other examples. So this one, also, too, assuming the other person, if you don't know them that well, in this case, I would see umpires once a year. You know, I mean, we get different umpires all the time. Just assume that they're not trying, they're not out to get you, you know, because they're mostly, I mean, they just, they're not, you know. So just assume the best in people until you're, now you can be proven wrong and people have bad motives. But until you can prove that or you discern that, assume that so there's a process here of handling conflict that you can learn from sports. And you and the parents can give the example to the kids from that. So, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think of this too, and I keep going back to the parents in it because, you know, so many times parents, obviously, they want the best for their children. It's tough for a parent to watch their child lose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's important to know the parents needs to be growing and learning all the while, as well as their child, whether they understand that or not. And so the need is for parents to be very solid in their walk with God so that they will seek to honor God through the whole process. Because in our humanness, if we, especially when it comes to a setting where you're dealing with sports and competition, the fact is, any one of us, if we're not careful, can let ourselves go.
Absolutely.
And go overboard when it comes to emotion. Like, again, to the one of the points you just made, like if you think the umpire makes a bad call and your child is up and maybe gets struck out because what appears to be a bad call. Well, many a parent have done said things that they very much regret and wish they hadn't done, you know.
That's
but
right.
The fact is, emotions can run high when you're talking about offending your child. But the key is our goal should be honor God because, again, we're talking maybe one single game in a lifetime.
That's right.
And your child may remember for the rest of their life the way daddy or mama did or didn't react correctly at a game. And so our goal is to, in fact, we're wise to always, parents, pray before you go to a game.
That's right.
Say, Lord, help me to honor you in the way I care myself.
We do the national anthem and pray before each game. Our team.
That's good.
I told our families and our boys, I was like, we can give our country, it's about the national anthem we play on our little speaker, it's about 1:40. I was like, we can get here in enough time to give our country 1:40. And then afterwards, we do our prayer time. And then, of course, you know, I remind them of things we learned in practice that they need to remember to implement in the game and things like that. A couple thoughts came to mind as you were talking there. And this is, please, all parents listening, hear me. I'm like overly, I just love sports, all of them. Like, I'm all in, get it, all that. But there is a reason why not every kid plays sports. Not every kid enjoys it. Not every kid finds it as a hobby or an activity. And if, don't give up. Don't, if there's a fine line here. If there are some kids that change your mind every single day, okay? So we can't just quit and start and quit and start. You got to finish what you start. So if you start in the fall, finish in the spring, you need to finish what you start.
Finish that season.
But if you conclude after one, or maybe it's two, or maybe you say, let's give it one more shot. If you don't, but But at some point, whether it's year one or year two or year three, if you can, if you get to the point where they're like, I don't want to play, I don't want to go, and I'm not saying because their best friend just came over and they're playing PlayStation and they just don't want to go. That's different. You know, if you commit to something, you need to finish it.
Right.
But if you conclude after a season or two or three, whether it's basketball, golf, tennis, whatever it is, that they're just not that interested or don't want to do it, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. There's plenty of other things and hobbies and entertainment. People fish. People play games. There's a lot of
music
and you name it. There's all kind of ways that we can have an activity and be in fellowship with other people that doesn't include sports. Anyways, it's okay.
Right. Yeah, I know of a minister that he has one son that went to the NFL.
Okay.
And another son is a professional musician.
Interesting.
They're in two totally different worlds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he tries to accommodate them in both their worlds,
sure.
You know.
That's right. That's
and
awesome.
What a tragedy if he tried to make both of them say,
I know, right.
Play sports or both of them become musicians.
I know, yeah. That's right. You know, and another point of wisdom for parents, if you have multiple kids, so two plus, you really need to prioritize your time with your family. I mean, it really does. So we limit our kids to two activities. Now, they can be two sports, or they can be they could be one sport and whatever else, but we limit them to two activities, and we try our best to make their practices on the same day so that we're not gone from our family every day.
Right.
So we stack up a lot of our activities on Mondays and Thursdays, and we're gone late. You know, I get home at 8 o'clock. Now Chelsea and my wife is still up, and we're getting the kids bed, and we still spend a little time together. But as far as being together as a family, those are going to always be on Wednesdays, and then mostly on Tuesdays. But even on Tuesdays, it's more about I pretty much let the kids pick. I just want to enjoy being with them, let them decide what they want to do. But the idea that sports, activities, and entertainment are all fun, good, and everything, but your family is, you don't want to, even in the best experience with activities and sports, you don't want to do it at the expense of putting that over, doing that more than you do with your family. Your family time is very important.
So. Right. And you know, again, related to that too, just the fact is, like, often in sports, you may have some kids, they come from a family where they don't have a dad in the family. Don't have their dad at home. And the fact is, many a single mom has helped get their child in sports because they want a male figure in their child's life. And so that's an important area of ministry as well. And again, always us understanding that discipleship is the priority.
That's right,
period.
Discipleship.
Yeah. Because the fact is, sports is fun and fine in its place, but the key is we want our children to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and teach them how to grow up. And, of course, sports is a wonderful tool, but keeping in mind that helping our children to come to be saved and learn how to walk with God is the priority beyond the sports itself.
I got one last illustration on the importance of, or the blessings of telling the truth. I was in college. I was had a couple roommates that I went to high school with and knew, and they put together a flag football team, and they asked me to play. I said, absolutely. This is going to be like intramural leagues at Mississippi State. Just a little fun. Play 12 games, organize over the fall. No big deal. Well, teams put together, and the guy that coordinated it, my friend, realized after we played one game, he realized that one of our players on our team was illegal because he had played college sports the year before, and you have to wait 2 years before you could play intramural sports, that is, at the time. So, and the guy, there was a Christian guy, young, I mean, he went to him, and without this player, we're not that good. We're good, but we're not that good. And there's 16 teams, we're one of the 16, and he goes to this gentleman and says, hey, man, I'm sorry, I asked you to play, I missed the rules. You can't play till next year because you played. You were a college athlete last year. And he said, "I'm sorry." And the guy said, "Oh man, it's no big deal. You know, you didn't catch it. It's no problem. We're still friends. We'll hang out. But when I'm able to play within the rules, just ask me to come play." Well, I myself and others who are competitive, and I regret this moment, but God got me right for sure. we were all very upset with him. We said, hey, listen, like, no one's going to catch this. What's the big deal? Long story short, we play by the rules. We get into playoffs. The other teams didn't play by the rules. They got caught. They got suspended, and we, out of 16 teams, we made it to the Final Four and didn't have to play two games.
Well, so, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Again, lessons all throughout it then.
So. Absolutely.
But Wesley, thanks so much for being with us today. Our time is about gone
really
here, but
it.
Really appreciate you coming and sharing the insights that you shared, okay? As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day. A wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us now and commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you pray this with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We want like to be in touch. I want to share my email once again. It's joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.